Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Kind Father, we are hungry for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is like honey to our lips. And so, Lord, we just long for your word, and we just ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make your word so crystal clear this morning, and then just give us the courage and the conviction to respond. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. So years ago, when Amber and I were first married, we lived down in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I still had a year of college left. And so she worked at the local history museum. And so one day, I came home from class, and you got to understand, okay, we lived in this tiny little one-bedroom apartment. It was, I kid you not, $275 a month. Gives you kind of a picture of where we lived. And we were officially kind of poor. And so I came home from class one day, and Amber was at work, and the phone rang, and so I picked up the phone, and on the other side of the line, they went like this. They said, "Mr. Dunlap, congratulations, you won the prize." And I was like, "What?" And she went on to explain, "You just won the $1,000 prize in our KYFM Treasure Trove Radio Sweepstakes." And I'm like, "Hang on. There's got to be some kind of catch, you know, like is this some kind of scam? Like, what's the deal? You're really trying to sell me something." And they just kept going on. They kept insisting, no, there's no catch. There's no strings. This is not a scam. This is for real. You won the $1,000 treasure trove prize. And so after a while, I was like, "Well, cool." And then she did end the conversation like this, though. She's like, "There is one thing. I do need you to send the radio station a $50 check, you know, for delivery and processing and all that kind of thing. But after that, the treasure trove grand prize is 100% yours." And so Amber got home from work that day, and I was just so excited. I just blurt out, "We won!" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Babe, we just won $1,000. And so we got excited. I explained the whole thing. We started to daydream about what we're going to spend our $1,000 on. And so I wrote the check, and I sent it off. And 6 weeks later, there was a knock at the door. And I knew, oh, this is it. So I run to the door, and there's the delivery guy, and he gives me this tiny little box. I'm like, "Huh, that's not really what I was thinking. I assumed I would get like an envelope with a check, you know, this is a little weird. Oh, but I know, I bet the prize, it's a stack of crisp $100 bills." And so I tear open the package, and there it was in my hand, $1,000 treasure trove coupon book. Worth $1,000 of savings and discounts at participating locations all over Bartlesville. Have you ever put all your hopes and dreams in a treasure that didn't turn out the way you thought it would be? Well, friends, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12 this morning. Luke chapter 12, as we continue our series about what the New Testament teaches about money. Now, if you were with us last week, we admitted the truth that most of us, we don't like to talk about money. And we really don't like to talk about money in church. But friends, if you read the Gospels for yourselves, and I encourage you to do so, what you're going to discover is Jesus really did have a lot to say on the subject of money. And so here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is approached by this man with a question about his retirement plan. And so Jesus launches into this parable about a wealthy landowner. I'm actually going to dig into that parable here in a couple weeks. But immediately after that story about finances comes to an end, here's what Jesus says next. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about all the rest? Now notice right here in this teaching, Jesus is not talking about like your courtside seats for the NBA playoffs. He's not talking about your second vacation home down in Florida. He's not talking about luxuries. He's talking about the basic needs of life. Food, clothes, shelter. We all need groceries. We all need a place to live. And the truth is, we cannot provide for those essential basic needs of life without money. And so if you're taking notes this morning, you can go ahead and write this down. Financial needs are a substantial cause of anxiety. Right here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus points out, financial needs are a cause of anxiety. I mean, how many of us in this room would admit that we've ever had a worry or a stress that resulted out of money? You don't have to raise your hands because I know it's everybody. We've all been there. We've all had that moment where we accidentally overdrafted on our bank account. Or maybe we didn't know how we were going to pay that bill and we're like, oh, I got to shift some money around. Or maybe we lost a job. Or maybe we spent money that we knew we probably shouldn't spend and it led to an animated conversation with your spouse. So many people in our community and even here in our Summit Church family, this past month with the government shutdown, man, that was a massive source of anxiety. There was so much uncertainty, and we praise God that, at least for now, is behind us. But guys, the evidence is there. Jesus is right here in Luke 12. It is so easy to get caught up in worry about the future. Am I going to have enough to provide for legit needs? Is my family going to be taken care of? And friends, you need to understand, okay? This is why Jesus taught about money. It's because he cares about you. He cares about what you are going through. He cares about those fears and worries and your future. What did Jesus say? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He said, I have arrived so that you might have life, and not only life, life to the full. And so when it comes to this issue of God and money, that this issue that we really don't want to talk about, really what it comes down to, comes down to trust. Can I trust God? Can I trust his character? Can I trust that he really does love me, that he really is good, and that he wants what's best for me, that he really is Yahweh, Yireh, the Lord, my provider? Will I have the courage to trust and follow his plan, his strategy for life, for finances, and trust that his plan for money really is the best plan? Guys, we all got to make a choice. Fear or faith, tension or trust, worry or worship, spiritual dissonance or dependence, reliance, assurance, resilience. Let's keep reading, shall we? We're up to verse 27. Jesus goes on. He says, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. Now notice right here, we have this telling moment when he kind of shifts the corner and he helps us understand it's not really about needs. What he's really talking about is much deeper. It's really about this right here. What's this word? Heart. It's about your heart. This is what's really going on. It's about what we set or what we focus our heart on. We're going to come back to that. But for now, verse 30. Jesus says, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Guys, you think God knows about your needs? You think it's like a surprise to him? He's like, oh, you need food? You need clothes? Guys, he knows. Your kind heavenly Father knows. But seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, if you are the type of person that likes to make notes right in your Bible, I would suggest that you underline this verse and then circle it and then draw some arrows to it with some exclamation points, because I'm friends, this one tiny little verse, this is a total game changer. Number two, my money and my heart are forever linked. Jesus explains the reality. He says, your treasure, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Right? That's my money and my soul. These two things are forever linked. But most of us, if we're honest, we don't really see it this way. For most of us, we compartmentalize. We're like, okay, my money is over here. This is my treasure. And so this is all, you know, my cash, my investments, my finances, my stocks, all those type of things. But it's also all my possessions, my stuff. You know, it's the house, the car, the boat, the kayaks, whatever it is you value, this is that kind of thing. But it's also my career. The time and energy that I put forth to try to earn and gain and grow my financial portfolio. This is my treasure. But then, way over here, well, this is my heart. This is the real me that's hidden deep down beneath the surface, you know, the spiritual side of me. And we think, well, this is the part of me where I have my relationship with Christ. And so as your pastor, if I were to just ask the question, you know, how are things going in your walk with Jesus? Well, we'd rush over here and we'd be like, well, let me tell you, I've been praying and I've been reading my Bible and I've been worshiping with passion and I've been learning to trust Jesus and I've been following him and I've been making it to church and I've been making a life group a priority in my life and we'd focus on all the heart stuff, all the spiritual stuff. But don't you dare talk about that. Because way over here, all this treasure stuff, all this money stuff, well, that's got to stay separate away over here on this side. And these things, your heart and your treasure, thou shalt not mix. It's in the Bible somewhere. Trust me. And Jesus is like, no, that's not how it is. Jesus says, like it or not, let me explain reality. This is reality. Jesus says, your treasure and your heart are forever linked together. They are inextricably tied for all eternity. They are chained together no matter what. And so where one goes, the other goes. If you start to pursue money and stuff, your heart, it's going to be dragged along with it. But your heart can also lead your treasure. If your heart gets all passionate about something, get all excited about something, it starts to pull in that direction. Friends, this is why money is so emotional. This is why people get a little irritated when the preacher man brings up money. This is why we worry and stress and lay awake at night. This is why we get defensive when you bring it up. We get suspicious. We get bitter. We get downright furious. Because like it or not, our money and our heart, they are forever linked together. Famously, the great evangelist Billy Graham once said, "Give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook, and I will tell you where their heart really is." Oh, we can talk a big game. We can sing loud with our hands lifted high on a Sunday morning. We can carry a thick Bible, like a big study Bible, and it's covered with notes and post-its and all underlines, and we can just wow everyone with our theological proficiency. But friends, it's actually our bank statement that reveals to us what it is we truly love. Where our attention and energy is focused, that is where our passion and our devotion is revealed. Now, please don't misunderstand my heart, okay? So please, lean in and listen close. God is not after your money. He's not. We said last week, he doesn't need it. He already owns it. He owns everything. He's not looking for money. Here's what he's after. God is after your heart. That's what he cares about. He wants your commitment. He wants your devotion. He wants your worship. He wants you to love him with absolutely everything, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what he wants, but he also understands how this works. He knows if he's got our money, if he's got our stuff, well, then he's pretty much got all of us. So friends, let me ask an awkward question. Have you ever had a quiet moment before the Lord where you went on record and you just said, "God, it's all yours. I'm surrendering all of it to you." Guys, I know probably every one of us in this room, we are good at trusting God with our soul. You know, like, "God, you can have that. You know, after I die, take over." And we're pretty good at trusting God with, like, our health or you know, if there's hardship in life, man, we run to him real quick with all that stuff. But trust him with finances? Whew. Friends, I'm telling you, those two things are linked, our money and our heart. Okay, now back in verse 30, Jesus says, "The rest of the world, which does not even believe in God, they do not follow Jesus." Here's what they run after. They pursue, they seek material wealth with all of their heart. That is their passion. That is their goal line that they're getting running toward. They're trying to get as much money and stuff as they possibly can, as if that will satisfy the emptiness of the human soul. And guess what? It doesn't. It never does. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, they say that this guy right here, J.D. Rockefeller, is probably the richest American in history. If you adjust for inflation and you take into account not only the money, but the, kind of the percentage of the wealth that was in America at that point, they estimate he would be worth the equivalent of $631 billion. That's a lot of change. This guy officially, nothing was off limits, man. If he wanted it, he could have bought it. He could have had anything he ever wanted, anything he dreamed of, he could have bought it. And yet one time he told the reporters, "I have made many millions of dollars, but they have brought me no happiness." Beloved, this world, the world around us, it just revolves around this chasing after money and fame and success and possessions and prestige, all the glittering treasures of this world. But what did Jesus say in verse 31? He said, "Here's what I want you to chase: the kingdom. Seek the kingdom." Matthew, who remember was a tax collector, he understood how this whole thing worked. Matthew catches this vital detail in his retelling of the same story. Matthew 6, verse 33, he catches, Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek God first. Seek God first. And notice how it goes on. All these things will be added to you as well. Isn't that a relief? Guys, God knows you need groceries. He knows. He knows you need a place to live. God knows you got to pay the electric bill. But our Savior makes this bold, bold claim. If you seek him first, if you put him first, all that other stuff, our Heavenly Father is going to provide for what we truly need. Maybe some of that is not what we actually need, but he's going to care for all our needs. And this is Jesus' radical antidote to worry. A relentless, courageous, daily decision that God and his kingdom are my first priority. And if I'm going to call myself a follower of Jesus Christ, this is how I want to reorient my life, that God and his kingdom are my first priority. Now, let me see if I can kind of break this down and illustrate this in a way that makes this just really, really practical, okay, to understand how this works in everyday life. Years ago, I heard this older, wiser pastor explain it in this kind of format, and it made a lot of sense to me, and it's always stuck with me. So here's what he said. He said, when it comes to money, we all have kind of our own order of importance, kind of a list of priorities when it comes to money. And when you break it down, there's really only four categories of where our money goes. You could argue, you could debate, but when you really break it down, there's really just four big areas where our money goes. And the first is spending. And so this is, you know, going out to eat. This is that Airbnb vacation. This is buying a cute new outfit. This is upgrading our flat screen TV. And I know we already got a TV, but this one is 8K. That's like twice the K that we have right now. It's got to be better, right? Friends, if you have ever come home at the end of the day and there is a little brown box sitting on your doorstep with the word Prime on it and you have no idea what's in that box, every week it's kind of like a little surprise birthday party. You open it up and you're like, oh, I forgot I ordered this. If you ever done that, you understand what number one is all about. The second priority is paying off debt. Mortgage, auto, school loans, but especially for many of us, credit card debt. 34% of Americans carry credit card debt month to month. That is 114 million people. Thirdly, sadly, this isn't everyone, but many people will put some of their money into saving. You know, got to build up that retirement nest egg. And then finally, if there are any leftovers at the bottom of the barrel, well, then we will give to God and to others. Invest in a ministry, support our local ministry, giving to those in need. It's there. We didn't forget it. But let's be honest, for most of us, it's kind of at the bottom of the list. It's kind of an afterthought. Now, hear me out, okay? Hear me out. None of these things, I think, are bad per se. These are like the normal categories of life. I bet 95% of us in this room, our money is going to these four areas. But through his living and unchanging word, Jesus is right now challenging you and he's challenging me. He says, William, let's have a talk about priorities. William, what are you pursuing? Where is your heart on this list? Because most of us put spending first. I need new, I need better, I need more. I need new, I need better, I need more. And in verse 30, Jesus says, hey, this is normal. This is what the whole world chases after, these things. This is first on everybody's list. But let's be real. What is spending all about? It's about me. It's about my appetite. It's about my desires, my wants, my needs, what I think will make me happy in the moment. Now, the second thing here is paying off debt, something that we don't like to do, but we have to do. But think about this for a moment. Paying off debt is also kind of about me. It's just about past me. Because you see, past me wanted to get something that past me didn't have money for. And so I said, I'm going to borrow from future me, and past me can have this right now. And so now current me is paying for what past me thought was a great idea. I'm like, past me, what were you thinking? Still about me. And then there is saving. And obviously, saving is a good thing. Dave Ramsey would be so proud of you that saving is on your list. Got to save for my wants and my needs and my future, but even saving is designed to benefit about me, because this is about future me, right? This is about my retirement so I can have some fun someday. I'm going to enjoy those years. And then finally coming in fourth, when I'm feeling generous or when I hear that plea and it just really pulls on my heartstrings and I feel maybe a little bit of guilt, then I'll give from whatever's left over to God and to help others. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, because I am convinced everyone in this room, this is on your list. You're doing some of this. There's some charitable giving. There's some loving giving. But I'm just saying, for the average person in our culture, it probably comes last. But friends, check this out. Here's what Jesus does. He does what he loved to do. He takes the value system of our culture and he flips it upside down. He says, seek first the kingdom. Just put God first on the list. I put God first in my life. I put God first in my finances. I give God my very best in my time. I'm going to love people before I love myself. Service becomes my priority. And this is not an accident. This is not something that happens, oh, once in a while. This is like how I live my life. And notice this, nothing comes off the list. It's all still there. Of course it's there. We're going to still send money in all four of those categories. You know, we still should save. We definitely should be paying off debt and making sure we're taking care of that. And we still get to spend money on our needs and many times on our wants, things that'll just be fun if there's money left over at the bottom. But here's the deal, we have reordered the focus of our heart. And now for me, God comes first. Guys, what would this look like if this was the priority list of your heart? What would this look like in your life, in your family, in your marriage? Maybe like me, you fell for a worldly treasure that turned out to be kind of a bust. And they all are, because all treasures of this world eventually fade, tarnish, decay back into dust. And someday they're all going to be gone. That coupon book didn't last too long. Which is why we should invest in that which endures into eternity. Friends, God is after your heart, but you know what? Gold is also after your heart. My stuff, my possessions, my money, it is God's chief competitor for my heart, his rival for my affection and my attention. And both of these things, the treasures of this world and God, they both want to be our master, and they both call for our worship. And yet Jesus told us, as we saw last week, you cannot serve both. As I was reading this week, I thought of Simon Peter. In that moment when Jesus called him and he started to follow him, it says that he left behind all his worldly resources. And I know we read that and we're like, yeah, what's the big deal? A rickety old boat and some nets? But guys, it's not about the amount, it's about the percentage. That was a huge sacrifice. That was everything he had. And yet, he left it all so that he could be all in following Jesus. Now, another disciple, Judas, on the other hand, it dawned on me, he literally traded Jesus for money. There was a time that he went to the ruling council of the day and he said, hey, let's make a deal. What will you give me? How can I financially benefit if I give you Jesus? What can you give me? And they said, all right, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver, which in our currency today would be the equivalent of about $12,000. Sounds pretty good in the moment, but trust me, it's not going to go that far. It's not even that much. Now, beloved, I could follow that path, the path that Judas went down, the path that so much of the world is going down, or I can take a step down the road that Simon Peter went down. I can be a little bit more like him. I can trade all that this world has to offer to follow Jesus and his radical kingdom way of life. I can seek first his righteousness, casting off the heavy shackles of this broken world, and I can ferociously chase after his heart with every fiber of my being. I can harness that precious gift which my Creator has entrusted to me and use it to make a mighty impact in the hearts of other people, an impact that may forever alter their very eternity. That, my friends, is a treasure that will last. An investment that can never be taken away. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as the disciples once said to you, Lord, we kind of feel this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? This is tough. And so, Lord, as your word just pierces our hearts, Lord, I want to put myself first in line. This is for me and this is for everyone. I just pray that we would not shy away from this, but we would allow this truth to confront us and that we would feel the tension. And Lord, help us to realize that our heart is linked with our treasure, and then help us to reprioritize our life. God, you're not asking for our money. You're asking for our heart. And you're not saying that we can never buy groceries or spend money ever again. You're just saying, seek me first. Put me first. Chase after me. So Lord, I just pray that you would help us to reorder our hearts. Help us to finally go on record, if we've never done it before. Help us to just draw a line in the sand and say, God, from this day forward, it's all yours. I am chasing you. I am trusting you. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people agreed together and said,
Amen.
Amen.